Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
everyone. That song you just heard is a poem written by my big brother Hatter called The Words You Cannot Say. And the song was turned into, or the poem was turned into a song arranged and sung by the poet Shout Even Shy. And most nights we open our shows with that song. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that's sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com. It's a free site to join, and if you do, or you're already a member, you can look us up under the group tab and find a team of voices, and I'll meet you at the door. From that chat room, you can click on the poem links that we share on the shows at night, follow along, comment. You could even call in to participate at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And the link to the show is also on the chat wall so that you can listen to it as we go along in case you can't call. And tonight we are involved in a series of weekly shows where we are all inspired by pieces of a poem written by our peers. Tonight that peer is the Xylophonic Blues. And we grab a quote from the choices, and then we grab a choice from the pictures for our personal prompts. And tonight the artist is Carrie Darlington. And the series has been going really well. The poems have been out of this world. And I don't expect tonight to be any different. And with that being said, I think we should get this show going because we've got some people on the lines waiting. And a quick shout-out to Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Storm took out a pole and they are out of power. But they did send in some SoundClouds to tribute the work of Xylophonic Blues. So we'll miss you, but thank you for the sound clips, and I'm glad it's just your power and that it didn't fall on the house. So take the blessings where you can get them. And on that note, let's go. Say hey to my co-host, my big brother, the writer of that poem turn song, Jay Hatter. Hey.
Hey. Hi, Deb.
Glad you're here. And
me
as
too.
I mentioned, the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation is from A.P. Taylor himself, and he's on the line as well from Oz. Hello, A.P. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hanging in there. Running a little bit behind. I was on a pet project, but I'm catching up.
Yep.
And I got a couple more lines to grab, so let's see if 1111111 might be racking tour. Hello, caller. How are you? Who's calling?
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I know that. Hey. I know that giggle. Although I hear men
really
don't like to hear that they giggle, so I know that laugh.
No, you can
well?
Say giggle. I don't care.
Okay, cool. Hatter doesn't like, he says, guys don't giggle. I say bull, but anyhow. And it's quite possible that the next caller could be Xylophonic Blues. Hello, caller, 814.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Hal.
This is
Welcome
Blue.
To the show.
Hi.
And I have right behind you Mr. Wayne Gent. Wayne.
Yo. What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show. Very
Thank
glad
you.
Everyone's here. Now, as I mentioned, AP's calling from Oz, so he's going to an appointment from here, so I'm going to have him put his poem right on the board. And or is it in the room? Let me go look, because I could grab it myself. There it is. Okay, I'm grabbing that. And we will have you kick the show off for us so that you can leave as soon as I find the chat wall. There it is. And hello out there, you guys on the chat wall. Happy to see you. And AP, when you see your link, take us away. And please tell us the quote you chose
okay.
first.
I will. The quote is, "Everything I reach moves further back." This is Behind the Smoke. And it goes a little bit like this. See, young one, there is snow, arrives right to the passing of leaves, while recall the icy fingers low as towards the wind puffs and heaves. Thinly dark branches do bend, shadows of light their trickery deceives. Heavy with ice, lower descend, sunlight upon its pale ardor weaves. New season orb arches toward, painful darkness balanced to thieves. Lazy skies aqua richly accord, bask again while a richness retrieves. Memories cast forged in black etched fine to wings and house eaves. If one seeks, it moves further back, to behind the smoke, by a sheaf of eaves. End poem.
Gorgeous. And the mono rhyme wasn't an easy one with the E sounding at the end, and you carry it all the way through, which is really awesome. And I like the visuals, of course, see young one there and is snow. But I like the, or I think it's towards, yeah, it's actually the last stanza, memories cast forged in black, that happens sometimes, etched fine in wings, and house eaves. It's just, your wording is always so original and different than ours. And I think, as Hatter likes to say, you know, you class up the joint. And sorry to steal your line, Hatter. But No, I'd like the seasons orb arches toward painful darkness, balanced to thieves. There's just like there's emotion, but there's visuals and there's beauty just because of the flow. So it's like I think it speaks incredibly to the art and to the quote that you chose. And I don't know how long Hal's going to be able to stay with us because I know it's usually a work night. So I'm going to go directly to him. And what do you think of that one, Hal?
I'm actually sick in bed, so I'm here for the whole duration.
Sorry you're sick, but I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm going to get back to the poem. Sorry about that. This quote that AP used, I think that was the most used quote that I saw when I went through everything earlier. I really, really like the stanzas are all very much uniform. The transparency as far as that goes with the quote, you can see what's in front, but yeah, you can also see what's in back. Okay, nothing really hides that, but it just brings it through, like, sort of like you're shifting cards, you know what I mean? It's like you got one card in back of the other one and back of the other one, but yet you can see everything all the way through. So I really did enjoy the poem, AP. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Great comment. And let me get a comment from Hatter, too, please.
Yeah, I like the quote and the way AP used it. If one seeks for moves further back, it's like the thought that when you're young, everything is within reach. But then one day, everything is a little further away from it. It makes it harder, a bit more difficult. I like the way you intertwined it through. And AP, did you? I think I've asked you this before. When you use the same sounding rhyme word throughout, is that a planned thing when you start writing, or is it just something that evolves as you're writing?
No, that one definitely evolved, Hatter. The great thing about Hal is he uses words in a way that there's sort of slide rhyme and part rhyme, and I was trying to think of a way to get that, and then I thought, no, I'll go the monorhyme because that's a great way of getting the feel for how Hal writes.
Yeah, very good.
Cool. And Raconteur, what did you think?
Yeah, I like the way you kind of mirrored his style when you do tributes and things like that. It works really well, and the feeling that you took from that quote and carried through the poem was obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but you know, it was very well executed, and much appreciated. I like the idea of the smoke. There was a song, I'm sure Hatter knows, the smoke gets in your eyes. It kind of made me think a little bit of that, but you know, tying that to the quote and the feeling of, you know, reaching for something and having it kind of, you know, be outside of your grasp, you know, you can't exactly grab a puff of smoke too. So that thought, you know, lends itself well to what you wrote as well. So I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you.
And one last comment from Mr. Wayne Jett.
Yes, I said excellent poem. It was good balance of flow. I liked all the way through. And I like the drawing you did. You're getting better at your drawings, and so I kind of focused on your drawing quite a bit. I like the way you're doing it, and you're doing a good job, my man. I like it a lot.
Thank you. I was waiting for 10 or 15 minutes, and I thought I'd replace the cover art, Deb. So I put a little sketch in if you're fresh.
Sounds sketchy to me.
And I just asked you if you were going to sketch. Awesome. Yeah, I see it. I did just refresh. Very cool. Awesome. And, okay, so I know that you have an appointment to get to.
Thank you. Yeah,
and I appreciate you calling in.
Pleasure.
Love and respect.
And have a great evening, and thank you again, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
See you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Okay, now, and by the way, Hal, I sent the master list to your inbox just so you would have it. And what I thought I would do is grab your poem, if that's okay, and put it on the board and have you read for us. I'm just double-checking. There's not a sound in here, is there? No, okay. So I'm putting
that's
yours
fine.
On the board. And
thank you.
I'll have you read. And here we go. So as soon as you see the link, take us away.
Okay. The name of the poem is called Wind and Monarch. It begins with this. Autumn's lantern poised. Dandelions, yesterday's aspirations. Alabaster's drape of metal flux. Ivory, bee-flash candles. Dried mania amongst wild roses. Cinnamon paints polychromes and the dull flicker cradling new life. Atmospheric citronella on a dark autumn night. Cadmium faded within the vibrant fire. Balmy biting winds, myriads stretching icked wings. Rainwater breeze, cloak of mahogany. Crisp leaves crackling beneath feet, padded barefoot across. Gossamer clouds drink the aerial crystalline, pigments of mustard as summer weeps. Nectar's intonation whispers drop by drop. Sap trickles down, tulips upon their tongues. Season of mist, brightness to the core. He breathes in ginger tints. Rust leaves, turfs matted turmeric. Lightnings cut glare rips the maple's flowers, wind and monarch. Nature's fingers embroider blushing butter white. Brightness fills over her blank morrow. Astro silk looms, autumn's electric cloak. Ivy's trellis of moss, lashed sorrel. Tawny, wisteria tangled locks, infatuated cornflower throws a cut paper petunia. Hues of color drip down her back. Moonstones under the lily, bannered light unfolds. Mossy and tailed your droplets, hazel shells, sweet kernel, gasp in awe. Pumpkin patches of explosion flew. Sunflowers, flax in hand, glint in a surf sun, or tapestries of violet fur. A coppery tone outlines a nectarine voice. Satin petal, glitter, ginger with liquid stars. Jasmine hangs naked upon cashmere. Walnut-shaped complexions, dressed, fringed with lavender lace, petals of peridot under a night sky stippled, aroma mixed with mustard sunstrokes, honeysuckle glow upon her yolk skin, chestnut flickering, magnifies terracotta with crisp breath of royal crimson, puffed, cumulized drift, sepals embossed, over eye shadows camisole. Curl your fingers to scatter gulps of air. Strings and fast oxygenated summits of a pack highlight the portrait face. Swallows close inhale to breathe. Hummingbirds thirst for rain's fringe poetry. Shadows of sound, calypso tones. Perio dust branching turns. My pen burns, poppies brighter than a rosette. Brocades catch pollen into a brush and splash. Moments, linear boundaries extend into depth. The braided powdery golden scent, honeyed mimosa lingers. Flint blackened counterweight fall deep under vermilion sunlight's lithograph and poem.
Wow. Sometimes you have so much fabulous imagery that I don't even know which way to head with the, or which one to choose, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Wow. Rainwater, breeze, cloak of mahogany, crisp leaves crackling beneath feet, cross, gorgeous. In vine three, nature's fingers embroider blushing butter white. Brightness spills over her blank marrow. Now, I know somewhere in here was my monarch, which, you know, how can you go wrong when there's butterflies in the poem, period, but you specifically mentioned the monarch. And you know how one minute you have it in your mind and then you get carried away by your images and you can't find it. But another really pretty one had to do with moonstones. There it is, moonstones under the lily-bannered light unfolds. I mean, breathtaking images, and every single vine in this. Petals of peridot under a night sky stippled. Aroma mixed with mustard sunstrokes. I can't talk tonight. Chestnut flickering magnifies terracotta with crisp breaths. I mean, just gorgeous all the way through. Movements, linear boundaries extend into depths. By the time we get to the bottom of a poem that you've written, between the metaphors that tantalize and the visuals that you put through our head that parade all these different scenes, it's like a mega treat to the senses. And also, I have to say, made it easy to find pieces to pick as inspiration for poems, because there were so many images in any poem of yours that you look for, that it's easy to find one that would inspire somebody. So anyway, fabulous poem. And let me get you some comments. How about Raconteur?
Yeah, I like this blue. You know, there's a ton of texture and color and movement. It's one of those things. It's a definite journey, you kind of walk us through in a way that's just I don't know, like a nature walk, I guess I'd say, and you've got a definite path that you're on, and it's just a beautiful picture that you paint in the end. You know, you mentioned terracotta and all the other things, so you know the textures. I mean, it's hard to do stuff like that sometimes, and you do it in a way that's very creative and absolutely poetic. It was lovely.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And what do you think, Wayne?
Let me see. Get to it. I think it's very good brevity you wrote there. I like it a whole lot. There's a lot of complex thoughts in this. It took a while to write it, put it together a bit. And it must rank a 10 in all the rank, because it's a complex poem. It's good. It should be ranked 10. It should be a high-ranked poem. You did a good job with it, and I enjoyed it very much. Great job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome. And I think what I'll do now is I will grab Angel's poem and read for her, because I saw her on the chat wall and I don't know how long she can stay. And I'm finding it now. Angel, 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 there it is. Okay. And I will grab that and take it to the board. And I love the art she chose for this. And
yeah, she chose great art.
Hatter, can you chat for just a second?
Sure. let's see. Yeah, Heavenly Angel, painted with pastels with butterfly wings. Yeah, some of this art, I don't know how anybody else saw it, but I love the difference, of course, the artist Deborah picks. But this one really captured the colors as I was flipping through the pictures.
Yeah.
Being a wannabe artist, I've tried watercolors, I've tried oils, I've tried pastels. So I draw in black and white because the colors are just so. I You need to understand the color wheel, just like the circle of fifth in the music. You better understand the color wheel and how they can go together or not go together. This artist did very well. Carrie Darlington was her name. It was very good. I was happy with the one I picked. But
thank you so much.
I didn't see some of the ones. Sure, go ahead.
No, finish your sentence, please.
I did. That's pretty much it.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I had to send a message to someone real quick. Okay, now back to the poem by Heavenly Angel. And the words that she chose by Hal is, a savory balloon pirouetting rises to each sweet new height. And her poem is Painted in Pastels with Butterfly Wings by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Love is a treasure that far too few people find. Even fewer people can see. Yet we found treasure painted in pastel more beautiful than the garden blooms. Our love is a symbol of something set free, drifting upon perfumed breezes in lavender skies. We cradle one another in gentle embrace, sailing through the galaxy on multicolored wings, rising to sweet new heights above cotton candy clouds and palm. Now, I'm just, before I comment on the poem, take note. It is a multi-award winner. I know I point it out every week, but one of these weeks I'm going to look, and it's not going to be a multi-award winner, and I think I'll fall off my beanbag, you know. But, yeah, it's a gorgeous poem filled with romance and beauty, and it grabs you. And anyone who's ever felt anything close to some of the stuff in the poem can't help but relate to it. And it brings Hal's quote and the beautiful art to life in full living color. And as always, it's my honor to be her reader. So let me get her some comments, and I'm going to start with Hal each time because it's his quote. So, Hal, what do you think?
Actually, I think this is about the perfect poem for that quote. I think that it wasn't drug out too much. It wasn't too much alliteration done to it. It was just, you know, very, very plainly put, very beautifully done. I also think that with this time of year, the way that a lot of things are, you know, all the grays and all the everything that we have this time of year and everything, I think that this is just really something that's very, very bright that I think that everybody just needs to hear. So I think it's a transcendental, or sort of like just really kind of goes through a lot of different levels. So I think she did a good job.
Great comment. And what do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, she's the hallmark, the warm fuzzy writer. always leaves you with that feeling after you read it. Nicely done.
Awesome. And how about I get one from Wayne while I put his link on the board?
Well, I think I got one goal in my life, and that's to fall in love with the same intensity that Heavenly has. She just amazes me. Every time I hear poetry, I just sit around and start get tears in my eyes, want to be in love like that. So she's a one of a kind and a great romantic poet, and I love all her work. She's great. She's a great poet. Good job.
Awesome. And Wayne, if you want to mention the quote you chose while I grab your poem, that would be fantastic.
I took the quote and broke it in half and put half in one line and half another line because it became better for my style of writing. And I used the quote to get over here to it. Over here. What I used was, I think that's it.
We're getting
groovy.
I see it on the bottom. Smoke hangs in the air, woven through scented mist.
That's it. That's it. I'm looking there. It's a good quote. Okay, good point.
Okay, now if you guys click on his link, I'll push play in the studio. And here we go.
This is called Hell Does Have Fury. Thick, dark, evil hue, can't hardly see through. Shadows refuse to cast. Now future meets past. Smoke hangs in the air. Satan stands and stares. Woven through unseen mist, your soul is on list. You can't hide in a bubble. Your soul is in trouble. Don't think that ship will sail. Tickets been punched to hell. It's time to circle the wagons. Fetch me the purple and gold dragons. Soon darkness will be on rise. Be not helped to don the skies. Evil comes in darkened sky. Time to tell loved ones goodbye. Hell does have fury. Tomorrow we find who to bury. Remember days so clear, was sometime last year. Then came forbidden fear, and death sleeps near. In.
Well, for one thing, I cannot wait to find out where you were taking it, because, like, even when I transfer the videos or the audios and stuff, I never listen, and I don't usually, unless somebody asks me to, read ahead of time, because I like to get the first impression. So I couldn't wait to find out what Hell Does Hath Fury meant. Thick, dark, evil hue can hardly see through. Shadows refuse to cast. Sure meets past. And just the thought of the chaos right there in that first little stanza is it represented in the picture, because, like, there's dragons and all kinds of different characters throughout the bottom, from a cat to, you know, to sails from a boat. And I mean, it's just, so I couldn't wait to see. And it's time to circle the wagons, fetch me purple and gold dragons. I love that. I don't remember the last time I heard a poem with fetch me the purple. It struck me really cool. And I want to save some for somebody else. But evil comes in darkened sky, time to tell loved ones goodbye. I think this came out really, really cool. And it always amazes me how you can keep this calm voice as you belt these out. And the music you always choose is like, you're setting us up for chaos, but your voice and the background is always somewhat soothing. So the contrast is really crazy, but really good.
Hey, Pink Floyd, come over and play with me. There's Pink Floyd playing. There's Pink Floyd playing for music for me this time.
Oh, wow. How impressive is that? Tell them so. I mean, that was... Yeah, that was a great, great sound. Hal, what do you think?
I really did enjoy where he took this. Very, very surreal. and definitely love the music because there is a lot of chaos happening in that photo. So I'm really glad that there was a prompt that he could that he was able to choose to really marry that well with the photo. Enjoyed the nice rhythms and every layer was done, you know, right on target. Very, very nicely done, Wayne.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And Rock and Tour?
Yeah, Wayne, you make Death and Darkness beautiful. you did a great job with this. You really did. And, you know, you kind of made me grin because you managed to mention food, too. So, you know, going out to for a so, you know, it's got all the hallmarks of things that I enjoy. It was lovely.
Thank you, my man.
And Hatter?
Yeah, Wayne's getting darker and darker with his rights. He's finding his own niche, you know, his own way of writing. It's either going to have that funny ending that we all chuckle about or serious afterlife type feelings. Yeah, and I like truly like your recordings too, Wayne. I can understand it a little bit better.
Yeah, I was in a dark hole when I wrote that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Thank you there, Hatter Man.
Awesome. Now I am going to grab Hatter's poem. And Hatter, you want to mention the quote while I find where I did? There's your link.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote to the, I believe it was the very first quote, but in my state of mind, it tends to morph into something else. But this is what it started. Breath melts the frozen crystals on the pane. I think it was. Yeah. But it morphed into this. I was staring at this picture of Carrie Darlington's, and this is what I got. And if anybody can see the picture, right? It's called Twisting Trees in Poetry. Twisting trees with bags of peas, a pot I cannot eat. Twisting trees with price tag leaves remembered in a tweet. Twisting trees with bags of tea, counting floating blogs. Twisting trees that cannot sleep, barking at roaming dogs. Twisting trees selling bags of leaves, wondering about tomorrow. Twisting trees in poetry brings on, oh, such sorrow. Twisting trees amazing me, waiting for the dawn. Twisting trees a canopy, learning to shade the lawn. Ooh.
I remember one time we were on the phone and you were really mad because someone was cutting on that tree and you were saying how painstakingly you took care of it and tied the branches so they would grow together and build their strength and stuff like that. And even though, I mean, you know, twisting trees and poetry is a great line, twisting trees amazing me. Why can't I talk? I love that you carried down the twisting trees throughout the poem. And each time you did, it reminded me of how heartbroken you were that somebody would mess with your tree after all the hard work you put into it. So even if the poem wasn't supposed to take me to that tree and your hard work for that tree, that's where I went. And the learning to shade the lawn, what a thought that you're clipping and tying together these branches to teach them to shade the lawn. I thought this was kind of brilliant, Hatter. Great brevity.
Yeah, thank you.
What'd
yeah,
you
that was
now?
My brother that did that. That was my brother that
was it
did
your
that.
Brother? I couldn't remember who it was that did it, but I knew somebody messed with your tree, and it was like you were torn between heartbroken and a wee bit angry.
I had years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, years molding that. Yes.
Yeah,
it was a Japanese maple. Yeah, and that Japanese maple tree, so.
Oh, wow. I knew we talked about it. And Hal, what did you think?
I missed that conversation. I wish I would have been in on that one so I could have further understood the meeting. But anyway, thanks. You know, so far tonight, I'm just really glad that people have just been able to grasp those quotes that I have, and they've been going so well with the pictures. A lot of good brevity tonight, you know, as well. So, and I'm not used to reading this much brevity. So, usually me, it takes a long time to capture everything that I want to say. In so many words. So, but I really did enjoy this. I think that he took this along the same kind of lines as what AP did, you know, trying to do, you know, along the same kind of lines as that. But, yes, I definitely I like the theme with twisting with the trees to where the twist keeps going, sort of like all the way through it from beginning to end, sort of like it would on the tree. From like a bottom to a top, or until it would finally end. So I definitely did enjoy that Hatter thing.
Yeah. I was looking at the tree and I couldn't figure out what was hanging from it. So I made, well, it could be this, could be that, could be that. And, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And Raconteur?
Glad to see you branching out, Hatter. I'm a real sap for the way that you write. This is great. The repeating line really enforced the thought, and the idea of the twisting trees, the way the branches entwine and things like that. You know, the something like that just kind of sticks with you, I think. It's a beautiful thought and a great metaphor for life, I think. This is great.
Awesome.
Thank
and
you.
Wayne?
Yeah, I always wanted to twist a tree. Now I know why I better not, because twisting tree amazed me and brings on such sweet sorrow. This is fun all the way through, Hatter. I love it all the way through, and it's a great little job you did there. I think it's hilarious and very good.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Now, if you guys click on the poem that JCA sent in, and he may or may not have mentioned it on the tape, so I will say that he chose Gently I Stir, Another Tale of Color-Coded Blackbirds Stretching Orchid Wings. And I will push play, and we can hear Jay repress. And he should be at the, there he is. Okay, here we go.
Hand of Winter by JCA. Coconut pulp snow spots on the brown, wilted meadow as feet soak in the chestnut boots sinking in the onyx soil. I listen for the rosewood calls of the red-winged blackbirds, whispering sunshine sonnets of the plumage mates, screeching of the topaz saucer-eyed owls prowling from the oaks, fluttering of the raspberry popsicle songbirds painting the sky. I peer for the paw prints in the terracotta mud, trails of the sangria-blooded mammals lifted from the hibernation. The egg-yolk sun falls in the amethyst dusk grave as the snickerdoodle moon sails beyond the cupola silhouette. But winter razors on olive forearm skin scream in my ivory skull. The ash frostbite has not faded yet.
So much emotion. Another reason why it's always so fantastic when the poet can either call or make the recordings, because you get so much more when you listen. In the second couplet, I listen for the rosewood calls of the red-winged blackbirds whispering sunshine sonnets to the plumage mates. And what a gorgeous way to talk about the calls as they try to impress each other in that mating call. I peer for the paw print in the terracotta mud trails of the sangria-blooded mammal lifted from the hibernation, and the visuals of things coming back to life as spring steps forward with those birds and the animals coming out of the hibernation. And where was the closing stanza? But winter razors and olive forearm skin scream in my ivory skull. The ash frostbite has not faded yet. And I'm like, you could feel the pain of the like the voice in his head, actually the screaming voice in his head. The couplets are a great mix of scenes and feelings, and I think, and I know I keep stealing the lines, but I really, for some reason, I listen for the rosewood calls of the red-winged blackbirds whispering sunshine sonnets to the plumage mates. It bared repeating. It's just an absolutely gorgeous worded. And I think that it totally brought the picture and the quote to life. And I'm noticing over there, too, JCH racking up the tens. He's up to 256. When you sit down and you come up with descriptions like these and breathtaking metaphors, you can't help yourself. You just spit out the tens, and it came out really beautiful, really heartfelt, and spoke quite well to both of the prompts. What do you think, Hal? And thank you, Jay.
Are you there?
Yeah. Did I?
Okay, you still there?
I just made my comment on mute.
Okay.
No,
how will you comment for JCA?
I'll comment. Thank you. I was really hoping somebody would use this one because this is actually, I have a tendency to be really, really, I'm an orchid person. I like orchids a lot, so I like to put that word in a lot of things that I do. And in a lot of poetry with a lot of different abstracts. I really, really did like the line where it says, I peer for paw prints in the terracotta mud trail of the sangria-blooded mammals lifted from hibernation. To me, that's almost a parallel line with my quote to where it's actually stirring something, you know, to become life again or to actually continue on life to be better, to be more beautiful. And from his, of course, his is coming up, you know, as far as stirring from a hibernation point of view. So I'm going to say, you know, the JCA, I really did like that a lot. I've already left a comment earlier. I said that I like this tone and texture, the colors that he portrayed in response to the quote into the picture was subtle yet powerful.
Awesome. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said did a great job writing to the picture prompt. I like the saucer-eyed owls. That kind of sticks out right in the middle of the picture.
Yeah.
The darkness you brought out of your poem, it made me think we were on the same page with my poem. Your dark poem was even better with your presentation. I love the mood you said with this poem, and it was a great little poem you wrote there. Loved it a whole lot. Good job.
Awesome comment. And McIntyre?
It was a beautiful use of color and emotion and a wonderful example of show, don't tell. You did a fantastic job, Jay. You really did. I really appreciate the way that you described everything. And Wayne kind of stole the line that I loved about the saucer-eyed owls because, you know, I'm fascinated by them. I'm glad you included that in the poem, and you've got your little reference. I think it was topaz that you mentioned, you know, the stones that you love and things like that. So there's the connection to you as well as the connection to the quote and nature itself. It's very beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Unmuted. Yeah. Yeah. JC does a great job with the storyline through it, creating the images. Like Rack said, the saucer-eyed owls, red-winged blackbirds, whispering sunshine sonnets. very creative. JC always brings it home. Does a good job. And once again, that's got to be one of the best pictures I've ever seen, paintings I've ever seen, the 3D effect. But if I had seen that first, I would have grabbed it. Good job.
Okay. If you click on my poem, I will read the poem I brought for Hal. And I used his quote, Velvet Roses Awaken, Unraveled in the Attic. You guys see it? And your quote brought out a lot of emotion in me, and I'm very impressed by the fact that your quotes have pretty much been impacted by emotion in each one of these poems, which is really, really a beautiful thing. So anyway, my poem, again, As the Velvet Roses Awaken, Unraveled in the Attic. And here we go. The sun slips citrine rays into the window's glass. Now the dust mites dance by the wall of red brick, traveling the room on the rushes from a breeze. Then velvet roses awaken unraveled in the attic. I spot the lithograph that Grandma painted with three butterflies on big pastel-colored flowers. Roses awaken unraveled in the attic trunk, holding her hat boxes and giant peacock feathers. Her lace wedding gown is stored in a cedar chest. Now velvet roses awaken unraveled in the attic. Orchid and lily perfume floats up from her garden just as my eyes spy her crystal-covered hairpick. Her velvet roses awaken unraveled in the attic, and as the teardrops drip down my cheekbones, puddling on the floorboards like the blue lagoon, memories slam my brain like the wind from cyclones. End poem.
Pat, are you going to run comments with Deb? She's not going to run comments with herself.
Okay. I was talking about it. It's not my. I was just waiting until somebody told me to go. I'm so sorry. Okay. All right. I'm not. Okay. Yes, this is absolutely gorgeous. This is actually gorgeous, definitely. I did like the fact how you ran the quote all the way through. And this could just be me. I do notice that did you try to grab some keywords from some of the other quotes too and put them in?
Yes, I did.
So
I made myself a word bank and then chose a quote. I'm glad you picked up on it.
Yeah. I think one of them was, let's see, we have the attic. I know I use windows glass a lot in a lot of my poems. Possibly peacock feathers. I know the floorboards, that might have been one because I've used that one before, and also the cheekbones as well. So, but yes, this was absolutely gorgeous, and again, I'm very, very glad that you did make it like a picture window type thing. I just have a tendency to view a lot of poems that way, through a glass or through a window pane. So that was very smart of you doing that. Thanks for writing that poem.
Yeah, what's it called, Deborah? The style you wrote it in, where you repeat the line and you different positions.
You know, in all honesty, Hatter, it probably is a form, But all I did was I started out and I put his quote in line 4, in line 3, in line 2, in line 1. And then I built the poem around it. And his words were like the lithograph and the orchid,
right,
and the lily and, of course, the whole quote itself. Cheekbones, lagoon. I'm trying to – that might have been the ones I used. Butterfly, of course. You used,
yeah,
color. I used colored. I think there was a dozen or 15 that were from your poems. But anyway, yeah, I don't want to say invented, but I don't know if there is such a form. And on that note, let's say hello to Liquid Damage. Linda, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, glad I could make it.
And also, Sky.
Hi.
Hi, Sky. Glad you're here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
sorry.
Good. And
howdy.
I'm sorry. Hal was saying hi. And I'm going to change. I was just about to do one thing, but instead I'm going to grab Sky's because often she has to work in the morning and it's late, so I'm grabbing her link now so she can read for us. What did I do with it? Sky. There it is. Okay. I'm bringing that over to the board for Sky right now. And Sky, as soon as you see it, go ahead and take us away, please.
Thank you. And if I know before, I'll do that. But I thought this was a gorgeous piece. I'm a really big fan of slant rhyme. I know some people are like, true rhyme is the best, but I really love slant rhyme. So when you got to the brick in the attic, I thought that that was quite brilliant. And I like how you quoted the velvet roses awake and unravel in the attic. You quoted that right in the poem. All the way through, I thought that was great. And then, of course, the perfumes of the flowers and the floral kind of background that you went with the garden was really well done. And I see this line, and it's like a signature, I think, of yours when you say, my eye spy, and you always take that, my little eye spies, and you switch it around into your poetry. And I've read a lot of poetry in my time, and I've never really seen that, and I really, except I see it often in your writing, not often, but every so often it peeks through, and I think it's really creative, really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you. And I wrote to number 4, everything in reach moves further back, and it goes, paper wishes and bulrush stalk. Pools of sparrowed skies rung upon the moor. A gleaming trill reposed on aster still. Her lips, a boysenberry part, with sips of seedling dew, gathering sweet and tart. And as paper boats along the rim of marsh are pawed by squirrel and fox, they too collect its luster, awash in folded wishes, navigating betwixt bulrush stalks. It is only within this hour, where seen diving for their light, stars are made to steward dreams before they vanish in sight. End poem.
You want me to go and comment?
Oh, I'm pushing my mute button. I'm so sorry. Her lips, a boysenberry part, with sips of seedlings dew, gathering sweet and tart. And a little further down, they too collect its luster, awash in folded wishes, navigating betwixt bullfish stalk. Oh my goodness, I cannot talk tonight. Bulrush stalks. But there's something about the awash in folded wishes that's so enchanting, I think, is what I'm looking for, which I mean, look at the picture, you know, so it fits really well. And I'm sorry, did you mention the quote that you wrote to? I forgot to ask you to say it before you read.
She did.
I did.
Oh, okay.
It was everything in reach moves further back.
Okay. Sorry about that. Well, very cool. It's only within this hour we're seen driving for their light. Stars are made to steward dreams before they vanish in sight. To steward dreams. I mean, between those stewarded dreams and the boys and or the where's that? Okay, breathe. The folded wishes and the stewarded dreams. I love those metaphors. They're truly breathtaking, Sky. The whole poem is beautiful, but there's just something about those two, and I couldn't just pick one of them, so I had to repeat both of them. Really, really gorgeous read and gorgeous poem. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
Hal, what did you think?
And I get the opportunity to talk about Sky's poem online. I've never been able to ever do this before in my life, just like my first time. So this is really cool for me. I think she did really, really well at the beginning because visually, when you see a flask being poured out, like liquid, as it keeps going, it actually, it'll like reflect out. You know what I mean? Sort of like, I can't even think of the word I want to use, but it'll, like the little
radiant
ripples will go like smaller to bigger. And then, so that along right there starts off right with the quote. And I like the way how she ended it too, as far as it says, before they vanish in sight. So it's basically a whole pour. The pouring starts, and then you have everything that's in the middle. It's happening as it ends down, you know. And I'm weird with my abstracts. I'm sorry. But what I wrote to her earlier was the perception and texture paired nicely. The flow and transparency worked well in tandem. Enjoyed your interpretation of the quote and the portrait. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sky.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Raconteur?
Yeah, I enjoyed this, Sky. No surprise there. You know, your mention of the moors and things like that, you know, it almost felt like you were kind of setting it in England for some reason. I hear that, and I think of England. So, you know, I guess your relationship with the English people and friends over that way, it kind of taints me a little bit when I hear those words. But I mean, the whole thing, you know, your use of language is always stunning, and in relation to your topic, it makes it, you know, fit the period, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It gives it a setting and a feeling, and you carry it through the whole piece. You know, wonderful emotion. It's just beautiful. I love listening to you.
Thank you, Rack.
I can almost see you cleaning your living room.
Nope, that's all done. It's all done.
And how about if I get a comment from Wayne, please? Oh, wait, let's say hi to Sweet Pea, please. Hey, Sweet, you're here.
Hi,
hello.
Sweet.
Hello, everybody. Glad I'm here, too.
Hello.
Hey, Red.
Hey.
Wayne, please.
Up?
Yes, hello, Sweet, and Sky, and Linda. This poem has some of the best little phrases ever, like long among the mirror, that's great, and with sips of seething dew, that's another great one, and betwixt we rush stalks and repose of astral seal. All the only known every line in this is just kind of cool. I love the way it reads, and it's kind of canning, and you did a great job with Sky, and I love it a lot. Cool write.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, nobody writes like like sky, sky. What was it?
Sky writing.
And as paper boats. I use that image, not boats, but paper shells, paper anything. It's a good image to sort of create a fragile image. You do it so well, Sky. Yeah, I really liked it. Very good.
Thank you, Heather.
Welcome.
And Sweet, were you here in time to hear it or no?
I did not hear it, but I read it, and I just think it's nasty. All Sky still, it's literally poetry within the poet's world. You know, it's metaphorically beautiful. Its imagery is beautiful. It's masterfully Sky, and I thought it was peaceful and pretty.
Thank you, Sweet.
Awesome comment. And let me get one more from Linda. And Sweet, can you put your link on the chat wall? Linda, please.
I sure can.
Yeah, this is really pretty. It has such soft imagery. There's no, like, harshness to this piece. And I think it's like a cool trip in the starlight. It's beautiful, and I really liked it. There's some just stellar lines in here that are just, like, outstanding. Deb said a few. A flask of starlight poured, spools of sparrowed skies rung up on the moor. That is just so pretty. I really like this, Sky. I think you did a really great job. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Comment. And I think what I'll do is when a host reads, I'll have them push their show. So, Sky, before Sweet reads, you want to tell us what's coming up next for you?
Yes. On Thursday at 8 p.m. on A Poetic Slice of Life, it's our monthly D&D show. So get your character writing ready. We are featuring the class The Paladin, or as Stephen likes to call it, the Herb. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I won't explain that now. But so come by, even if you don't know Dungeons & Dragons. It's just character rights. They have some traits that, you know, just think Superman, the White Knight, and bring up home and hang out and geek out with us. And that's it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And my Sweet, take us away.
Yeah, but I wrote to two different quotes. Rest melts the frozen crystals on the pane, and a savory balloon pirouetting rises to each sweet new life. And kind of a little abstract for me, but we'll go with it. This is called Calliope's Tale. In the stillness of the storm, wind waits to whistle a melody in the flaps of butterfly wings that carry the notes that Calliope sings as she taunts the mysteries and the clouds yet to ring. Birds fly in erratic zigzags, moons and circles, dodging the teardrops leaving from past lovers' hollowed eyes squeeze. Wishing wells stay silent, forgetting to tell the tales of tarnished pennies, the blackened corpse paid to devils, whose angels could do their work. Bouquets of red balloons tied to a child's shoes pop, and little boys become slaves to the world without truth. Calliope giggles at her tale as she blew a simple breath and melted the frost in her bedroom window. What a delightful day it is.
Wow. I always get lost in your voice, Sweet, when you read. I do. I you know, I'm always so amazed. From the beginning there, in the stillness of the storm, the wind waits to whistle the melodies between the flaps of butterfly wings that carry the notes. I just think that's stunningly beautiful right off the get-go there. And then in the, I think it's, yeah, the third stanza, wishing Will stay silent, forgetting to tell the tales of tarnished pennies. There's such a sadness to the thought of the tarnished pennies and the fact that the well is silent. And the, I don't know if it made sense to me, those tarnished pennies mean that nobody is taking care of the fountain or that wishing well. And usually, in my mind, they periodically clean out the coins and they donate them to the poor. So this is a wishing well that those wishes are going to stay silent if nobody's pulling out the pennies to help feed the hungry, and they tarnished. So that stanza right there was packed with extra sadness for me. I mean, my goodness, you think you're just making a wish and tossing a quarter, but that quarter means that some child's going to have some oatmeal or something, you know what I mean? So the tarnished pennies is such a sad, sad thought there. And then bouquets of red balloons tied to a child's shoes pop, and a little boy becomes slaves to the world without joys. And I can't count the number of times I've seen balloons going up in the air, and if you look down in the immediate area, there is usually a screaming and or crying child that either they got away or they popped, and usually the pop leads to the scream because of the, you know, the sheer terror of, I don't mean to laugh, but the sound of the pop is very scary. So it's just, there's all kinds of emotions flowing through here, sweet. Fantastic share, as always. How what you think?
Maybe someone needed. The quote was so uplifting, and there was nothing she added. She did very, very well. She added a nice little dark thread to a lot of it, and I really did enjoy it. I was actually looking for you to have this finished a couple hours ago, because I was on board when you just took this finish. I want to see some other poems, so I was wondering what you're going to write. I think this is one of the least dark ones that I've ever, that I think ever reading of yours as well, but I don't know if you read the bottom about what it says about piety. Is the muse who presides over the eloquent and epic poetry, so called from the ecstatic harmony of her voice. Hesiod and Ovid, if I didn't pronounce those correctly, sorry, called her the chief of all muses. So it was, you know, definitely very interesting. I am really glad to see that you did add the two quotes together. One other person did this. Yes, it was Heavenly Angel who I think added two quotes together as well. So I think those worked very, very well for you. And I thank you for writing to my quote. Thank you, sweet.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome comment and raconteur.
I like this a lot, sweet. You know, one of the things I intentionally, otherwise, I like that you use like Calliope and Penny because they could also be named, so it kind of expounds on the thought a little bit. And you know, Calliope is not just that musical instrument. I think the one of the Greek muses, the one that represents poetry, in fact. But anyway, and you know that brings the music into it. And you know, it's the emotion, and even you know, when you talk about Penny, you know, it's not the coin to me, it's a person. So I just the whole thing, I don't know, I kind of dig into it a little more than I probably should, but I really appreciate your writing. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh,
thank you, Rack, very, very much.
That's the best part, I think, is the different interpretations we get it. And no matter what the interpretation is from the poem, it's that power to touch us and reach inside that's so special. Heather, what do you think?
Good to have you back, Sweets. I love the line that you read, the bouquets of red balloons tied to a child's shoes pop, but the little boys become slaves to the world without joys. You know, everybody's heard this, but I'll give my two cents in. If you're in a hurry to grow up, don't be. enjoy every day.
No kidding.
The world without joys. The reality is not as green as the grass over the other side of the fence. Just relax. Take a breath and enjoy life. This is very good, Sweets.
Thank you, Heather, very much.
Welcome. Deborah, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry about that. Sweets, stick around for just a minute. I'm going to pull you in the green room for a second. But first, I would love it if everyone would click on Kay's poem. I'm going to push record. I'm going to push play. So tell me when you see her poem. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Raspberry Magnolias, Candy Store Elations by Kay. Cherry cobbler, honeycombs, hickory sticks, the currents of brick, high crust nature, trails a colonial rose, ribbon red and glow of hollyberry, a mint julep morning, poet's creed, berry bloom watercolor, petals, honeysuckles, and litter in their branches, cinna swirl cappuccino, orange spices, the sky, drops of gold, whispers valance, vintage blushing, and tea and honey of earthy ochres, watches, mosaic, stained glass, dragonflies, a spiral in of red, Venetians, the journey, and a poem.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have that. Kay did, in her writing, the way she pieces the puzzle together is very, I don't know, professional, for lack of a better word, very creative. I know Kay reads a lot of poetry, and she's getting better and better every time I read her stuff. It's very good. Rack, what do you think? Rack a tour? How about Hal?
Yeah, I'm here. I apologize. I just forgot the phone.
Okay.
I'm sorry, excuse me. I think she picked the perfect picture as far as I can't even talk right now, I'm so sorry. Must be something Debbie has that was everybody's catching. I don't know. I think that she's taken a lot of well done abstracts and pin them together as far as what you can see. The cherry cobbler honeycombs, those could be coming in from the sides where the gold is. The hickory sticks and the currant bricks, that could be the darker in the middle, sort of like the hearth, sort of like in the middle if you see it that way. Hollyberry and mint morning, that would be, a little bit more of that inflection. Kay, I know that I've already left something here for you, but I just want to read this again. I put, I'm definitely glad for your front page on this poem, because definitely your beautiful translations that transform never ever cease to amaze me or cease to amaze us. And it really is cool going over your poems, Kay, because I know that you can see things in abstracts too. A lot of people don't have that tendency to do that. So I learn a lot from your poems all the time to keep going as well. So, but I thank you for contributing to this. And that's all I'm going to say. Thanks.
Yeah, it takes a special, you got to be in a special place to create the metaphors. A lot of people have a lot more trouble than others in just creating the metaphors. But when you do it to a prompt and just makes it all, makes the picture and the quote better. Now, that picture is outstanding, that painting. She has a good one to write to. Dr. Tour, are you there?
Looks like he had to hang up as well, and Sweet had to go.
Okay.
But Linda is still here, and then I'll give my comment.
Okay. Is Wayne still here too?
No, it's me, you, Linda, and Hal.
Okay. Linda.
Cool. Yes. This was a beautiful piece. The abstract versus the concrete is amazingly woven together in soft shades. The poetic metaphors were craftily created to kind of disappear, kind of meld in and be soft. And I really liked it. Thanks, Kay, for sharing it. It was very pretty.
Great comment. And, quite often when I read a poem, I hear people say, oh, you just made me hungry. Well, look at all these yummy metaphors and visuals here. Cherry cobbler, honeycombs, and where was that other part that was like, berry blooms? I mean, it's just the swirl, the cinna swirl, cappuccino, and orange spices. I'm like, yum, my mouth watering. But then on top of it, you have beautiful things in it, like the mosaic stained glass dragonflies. What a beautiful, beautiful image that puts in the mind. I think that, and the red glow of the holly berry and a mint julep. It's just like uplifting and image filled and it teases the senses with sights and scents. And I really think that this came out stunningly beautiful. Thank you so much, Kay. And I always appreciate SoundClouds, but with everything that you guys are going through at the moment, no power. They're riding around in their car to charge their phone, and they used some of that battery power to make a recording for this. So I appreciate that very much. Beautiful share. And if you guys click on the next one, that's from Steven. And I will, when you tell me you see it, I will push play. And then Linda's after this one. So you guys see Steven's?
Yep. Got it.
Got it.
Okay, here we go.
Singing Siren's Savage Seabed by Stephen 76. The scaled, florid, and rainbow bloody dire riptides, upon the tottering sage, slithering seaweed she slickly slides, lilting wrapped men down to ocean floor, afar from their bitter brides, and patching Davy Jones's locker by tanning their flayed hides. End poem.
Wow. You know, yeah, I'm looking over here, and it's number 43, and I say it, sometimes you get into the habit of saying something about someone repeatedly, but it's just because you're overwhelmed. Like, these four-line poems that he comes up with that score tens, you think, how do you score a 10 with four lines? But then you dig into what he writes, and he always packs it with visuals, and you wind up seeing what he's saying and feeling what he's saying, and you get different emotions. Like, for some reason, the patching Davy Jones' locker by tanning their flayed hides, it made me giggle a little, and it probably shouldn't have, but there was just something about you hear Davy Jones' locker, and it made me laugh. But in the first line, too, the florid and rainbow bloody dire riptides, I mean, wow. The power in just a handful of words. Like I said, he can take four lines and spin them into tens like nobody else. I've done one, and I have to tell you that I tried at least 20 times before I succeeded on that one, and I just couldn't. It's really hard. You wouldn't think so, but it's really hard and really impressive. Thank you so much, Stephen, and very impressive. And again, with everything you're going through, to take the time to make the recording is very appreciated. Hal, what you think?
Yes, Stephen and Kay, I just want to say as well, thank you. As I think I only live about 45 minutes from where they live, up on Lake Erie, and we actually had ours, our power out all Saturday night. So I definitely know how they feel right now, because my wife and I were each in our cars for about 4 or 5 hours that night doing our stuff. So I get what they're doing. But Stephen, yes. And I think I heard this from somebody today. I'm not sure that I can't even think of the words I want to say tonight. What's another word for, anyway. But what you're writing about, I can't think of what you want, of what you, a mermaid, that's it, I'm so sorry. That's what happens when I don't feel well. I guess the mermaids are supposed to, I always thought they were supposed to be like really, really nice and that kind of stuff, but I guess they're a deadly sea thing, I'm not sure, I guess I heard that somewhere tonight, but anyway, I definitely have to say I like the way how you have threaded your words together. You do fantastic brevity. I definitely have some good things that I can learn from you, for sure. And, you know, thanks for putting this together for the show. I do appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you.
Great comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, like you said, Steve's getting very good at the short four-line brevity. And how it's tough to be put all of a sudden in front and center and expected to create comments on everything. So, you know, it's okay. Just relax and take a breath. I'm the same way. I'm on the air all the time. Steven, the seaweed, she slickly slides. He's trying to twist our tongues here a little bit. Seaweed, she slickly slides. The last one, tanning the flayed hides, that sort of put a smile on my face, too. I hadn't heard that term in a long time. Nice and done, Stephen.
Great comment. And, Linda, before I have you comment and read, just give me a second. If they get their power hooked back up for them, I wanted to let everyone know that over at A Poetic Slice of Life on Wednesday at 7:30, they are doing an episode of The Mortuary of Shadows, and their topic for that show is the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they have I'm looking at some of the really awesome quotes. You can choose a quote or write anything that is, you know, resembles the movie. I see that there's a couple cool gifts on here, and the Predator, he's really bad. This is bad like in tough, not bad as in not good. That sounded weird, but anyway, yeah, no, it was a really spooky movie. To think that they're, you know, these predators are hunting the humans, and they can cloak, and you don't even know they're there, and then the next minute you know that they get you. So, like, I think that there could be a lot of fun with this Wicked quote. So I'm looking forward to that. And again, that is Wednesday night at 7:30. If their power comes back on, so keep an eye on their topic board in case Kay has to change the date. But for the moment, check it out and see what you think. Now, Linda, you can comment for Hal, and then you can either push your show next show before or after you read. Totally up to you.
Okay. Yeah, this was really cool. I like how he can write so much beauty into just four lines. This was so metaphorically beautiful with great alliteration in it. That it just fits so nicely together like a little package. So, Stephen, you did a great job. I really liked it. Thanks for sharing it. And I have, let's see, we're going to April. I have a show on the 14th at Atina Voices at 10 p.m. Eastern. And a show on the 21st at Atina Voices at 10 p.m. Eastern. All both fun shows. We had a lot of fun last Friday, and hopefully we'll have more fun this next two shows. So come on down and have some fun.
Awesome. And your poem is on the board.
Okay, let me refresh. There it is. This is called Cosmic Haze. I fall asleep and chance to dream in colors that abound me, onyx, peach, and turquoise all swirling in a sea. The universal energy sets my dreams ablaze. Now I'm lost in my emotions floating in a cosmic haze. Hanging by a silver thread, swinging from a star, across the sky I fly tonight to a galaxy afar. Wind chimes made of moonbeams in a harmony of light, my wings adrift on mystic air in a melody of flight. In a mirrored pool of stars reflect the image of your face, I take your hand, now or two, traveling in space. Alone no more I fly with thee, and skip on Saturn's rings. In royal sky, I'll be the queen, and you can be my king. In poem. And the code I used was, surging sinews stretch forth, living in the breath of the wind. And the reason that inspired me with this poem, I had already written most of this poem. It was already out there, but I added to it. But the silver thread is like that surging sinew. It ties us to our astral body so we don't get lost out in the universe when we astral project. So that's why that quote caught my eye. But very nice quote. Blues, all of your quotes were just really stellar. And that's in poem.
Awesome. I for one thing, you, aside from being one of our storyteller poets, are also one of our top rhymers. I mean, your flow, your rhyme is always like flawless. And then you spin a story around these flawless rhymes, and I'm always so impressed. Hanging by a silver thread, swinging from a star. Across the sky I fly tonight to galaxies afar. I mean, you don't miss a beat. You put a great image in the mind. All the way down to the end, alone no more, I fly with thee and skip on Saturn's rings. In royal sky I'll be the queen and you can be my king. And what a great ending. I mean, it's just from start to finish, between the images and everything else that you put in these, you're brilliant. You really need to make yourself a book, Linda, because your poetry is very impressive.
Thank you, Deb.
Hal, what do you think?
Yes, Linda, your leader is definitely right on. I think my favorite is actually going to be the middle of it, which is where Wind Chime is made of moonbeams in harmony of light, my wings adrift on mystic air in a melody of light. That's a really, really beautiful middle to be to put. I know a lot of people usually try to save the best for the first, for the last, but I think you really did well with definitely stringing it all together, in the middle. That's, like I said, that's my favorite part. Yeah, it's just really airy. It's really uplifting. There's not a negative word. There's not a negative, anything, nothing dark to it. It's just all really positive, really, really, really light. I enjoyed this one, Linda.
Thank you, Blues.
Awesome. Comment and Hatter?
You're going to have to pass me by this time. Excuse me, please.
Okay. All right, then. If you guys would click on the next poem, which is by Jenny, I will push her recording. Just tell me when you see the poem.
I got
all set? All right. And here we go.
Silently she screams, seeping sad sorrow. Secretly her eyes hid under the lily's shadow. Gulping for breath, she prevents the hysterics. Estranged from loved one, she lowers her head to her hands and sinks. One step forward, two steps back. Everything in reach moves further back. Slowly scattering, sparkling wings fly off her shoulders. From living a life so rough, so tough. Everyone she knew gave up on her, leaving her saddened. All because she was a little different. She loves herself, refuses to be maddened. Deep down, she craves acceptance, not indifference. Impatient, she's done waiting for life. One day, love will find her. No need for strife. Wearing her heart on her sleeves no more. Away from this hell on earth, she soars. With her marigold daffodil tinted hair in the wind. Nothing in this world will hurt her again.
Oh, now there's a great ending. With her marigold daffodil tinted hair in the wind, nothing in this world will hurt her again. I love, love, love the ending. I did have it on full blast, you guys. It was just a very soft recording. And her rhyme is really cool. Like the second stanza, one step forward, two steps back, everything in reach moves further back. I like how she tied that in there with the quote that she chose. And then in the third stanza, she loves herself, refuses to be maddened. Deep down, she craves acceptance, not indifference. I love the message in this, but nothing, I mean, none is, I love it all, but not as, nothing as strongly as I do that closing stanza, which bears repeating again with her marigold daffodil tinted hair in the wind. Nothing in this world will hurt her again. It's like empowerment wrapped in self-confidence, wrapped in some great messages. So I thought that it was a beautiful take on both the prompt and picture and on Hal's words, which she incorporated into the poem. So great job, Jenny. Thank you so much. And Hal, what did you think?
Yeah, I think this is this has got a great message. This has got to be somewhere a front page pick somewhere down the line, because there's so many people that this message can talk to. I mean, as thinking with the quote, one step forward, two steps back, everything in reach moves further back. But in the third line of the first stanza, she says, gulping for breath. So you can just imagine how that is. But yet at the same time, while she's saying that in words, you know, she's putting her heart on paper too. So I think that this was a very emotional write for her, you know, just to be able to try to get the right words and to try to, you know, there might be a lot of past pain there, and there might also be triumph that she's also gone through it with. So, yes, I've never read any of her poetry before, so this is the first time I've been introduced to this poet, and it's definitely, Jenny, it's definitely a pleasure to read your poems. So thank you for doing justice, you know, to my quotes. I appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, Jenny has a way of writing from her heart, and I really like that. She tells the truth and puts her emotions out there and doesn't hold back. And this is a beautiful poem. Just the whole thing, it screams from her heart. And the one thing I like about this is it cries hope at the end. Nothing in this world will hurt her again. That's crying hope. And that's all we ever need in our bad times is hope for a better time. And she does that well in this poem. Thanks for sharing it, Jenny.
Awesome comment. Thank you both so much. And if you click on Pee-wee's poem, I will push his recording next. Just shout when you see it.
I got it.
I got it.
Okay, here
got
we
it.
Go.
Universal blight. Circumflex routes course within gnarled, sinewy, polychromatic roots, stretching back to and before beginning of worlds, flowing through universe while etching out here, now, past, present, innumerable futures that will and are, aren't, or won't be. Branches spring forth, their removable timelines, dimensions, and planes unseen. Gnarled grasses bend, dripping sweetness by the still lagoon of time, and from within, surging sinews stretch forth, know a caress of the stars, living in the breath of the wind. Each delicate blade, or petal, or leaf, a life, somewhere in the flux of this great expanse, tree stretching infinitely determines all strife, happiness known it adjudicates, all is chance. Yet something is happening within the annals of the unending great universally equalizing force. A farce. It is far more nefarious as the granules dissipate, cut of the deck or throw a dice, or worse. Everything in reach moves further back. No remaining constant. Tree itself begins to fade. Transitory, psychedelic, kaleidoscopic beauty of tree. Magnificently macroscopic into myopic degrade. Cosmic blight upon the winds of dimensionally shifting seas and tides, once stable, now rising, creating a vacuum of time. Nebulous galaxies implosive. The disease spreads itself. Surmising that this infestation has, in effect, caused effect. The spread cannot be stopped. Magnificent doom spores of dimensionally deviating, now wrecked fungi, dance madly backwards into mushroom undone. Places you haven't been, too. Dissipation of all into ether, around its being vacuumed into itself. As it was, it will be anew. It never was, and tomorrow's voice never sings. End poem.
Universal Blight, great title. The third stanza, gnarled grasses bend, dripping sweetness by the still lagoon of time and from within, surging sinews stretch forth, know a caress of the stars, living in the breath of the wind. And I noticed some of the words from the different quotes too, and his usage of them here are really incredible. And then there was something otherworldly in the music that he chose for the background. You guys are so good at pairing your reads to the music that you put in the background. Cosmic Blight Upon the Winds of Dimensionally I can't talk. Shifting Seas and Tides, Once Stable, Now Rising, Creating a Vacuum of Time. Nebulous Galaxies, Implosive, The Disease Spread Itself, Surmising That the Infestation Has an Effect, Cause Effect, like the Butterfly Effect. There's a lot of potent information in here that you need to digest, like that infestation or underneath there, the spread cannot be stopped. Magnificent doom, spores. I mean, it cannot be stopped. That's such a sobering line right there. I dance madly backwards into mushroom. The if you take a look at the colors and stuff in the picture and all the changes that are just in that shot, and then you put it in all, with all the words that he gave us here, like that vacuum, creating the vacuum of time, I think that there was a lot of power in here. And then at the end, that vacuum pulled that vacuum into itself as it was. It will be anew. It never was, and tomorrow's voice never sings. And the thought of tomorrow's voice never singing is like, wow, you know, powerful emotion here. Impressive, right? Thank you so much. Hal, what did you think?
My show, Mars. Okay. Yeah, this is a really, really good surreal, you know, type writing. The picture, the first thing I can imagine with the picture is probably somebody in the 70s on LSD or something. I don't know, that's just me. But those of us who are old enough, anyway. With me being not feeling well, I've had a really hard time. Even with my glasses on, my eyes have been so blurry, I can't see anything. So it takes me a couple extra minutes. We're talking about other words he used. He used transitory. That was in the fourth one, I think, because that was one of the ones with the transitory lithograph. That was in that quote. And like I said, I'm sure there's more. I'm still trying to go through this. But probably one of the ones that I probably like the best is probably going to be the next to last one. That is the infestation has in its cause and effect, the spread that cannot be stopped, magnificent doom spores of dimensionally deviating, now wrecked, fungi dance, madly backwards into a mushroom. So, yeah, to me, I'm sorry, that just talks about our society today almost in a whole. But, yeah, this is, you know, he had some really, really great lines. You know, great take on the prompt. I'm glad he took it where he did. It's really, really cool to see something that is, like, really, really surreal, you know, to that point, to where he took the prompt. That's really cool for me to see that for one of my quotes. So, you know, definitely thank you, Pee Wee, for writing this. I appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, you know, I get what you said about the person on LSD and everything, because I kind of felt with the music, that dingling music in the back, that it was like an opium trip I once took, and I'm serious. It had the same feel and easing feeling around it, but the metaphors here were outstanding, and there's a lot of beautiful information in this piece woven together like a fine tapestry. It brought to my mind, for some reason, Joseph's Technicolor dream coat because of all the beautiful imagery in here, colorful and bold. But this was a fine piece. Pee-wee is just an excellent, excellent writer, and each poem that I read of his is more and more pleasing to my mind. But this is this one is really, really outstanding. Thank you, Pee-wee, for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And if you guys click on the poem by Titus, I'll push play. See it?
Not yet. Okay. I got it.
Okay. Here we go.
Persuasion in their multitudes, dubium, love's enchantment, it stirs another tale, an amber moonlight shines, a mood for two, I grimly sit, unwittingly prevail, thou dearest, near and far, unearthly few, 'tis deemed in retrospect to have unnamed the stars, so near yet far away be brought to death, to be the dark briquette unclaimed, whose rhetoric it was Lucretius thought. It holds in name alone to reach new heights, to which we can be named it will cover closely, shown between the stars so light, imagines the find of one or the other, a proposition whereby each colludes, another world exists, we forgot to count ourselves among the multitude, so faint a star you taint. The theory rots, color-coded are your timelines, a thread which so-and-so the fabric of your soul bewilderment. Love's splendor will embed the soul environment, all stars will scroll. Love's demeanor is nothing otherwise, drawn are constellations, the collusions outwardly speaking shall open our eyes to engage upon the many disillusions. We are free to come and go as we please, memory sees it to it that here on this earth the appearance of whatever may ease anxiety or be it our lasting gear.
See what I mean about the music that the poets choose for their backgrounds? Who? Persuasion in Their Multitudes. Fabulous title. Love's enchantment, it stirs another tale. An amber moonlight shines, a mood for two. I grimly sit, unwillingly prevail. Thou dearest, near and far. Unearthly few. I absolutely love that stanza. And then towards the end too, love's demeanor is nothing otherwise, drawn are constellations, the collusions, outwardly speaking, shall open our eyes to engage upon the many disillusions. There was, parts of it, you could feel like a nostalgia there, but you could feel a sadness in some of the parts. In the second stanza there, second line, the stars so near yet so far away be brought, a death to be the dark briquette unclaimed. And you don't think about the fact, like, you know, people make a wish on a shooting star, but it's not a shooting star, it's a dying star. My emotions were gone all over the place as he was reading, and he lulls you in between the music that he chooses and his readings. I love the way he pronounces words and stuff. But there's always, there's like a proposition whereby each concludes another would exist had we forgot to count ourselves among the multitudes. And sometimes we do forget to count ourselves, you know. I mean, I know that there are people that live in a me, me, me kind of world, but a lot of us tend to put everybody else up and forget to do something for ourselves, and that's the kind of feel I got there. And, well, sometimes you just, you can't get along with some people, and it's a sad thing, and like I said, I was really hit by so many different emotions in this one. I'm going to take another look at this one after the show because there's so much here. Thank you for the beautiful poem, Titus, and the amazing recording as well. Hal, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go and start with the one that you ended on because that was the one I was going to pick anyway. As far as, you know, a proposition whereby each concludes another what exists, but that we forget to count ourselves. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of us out there who really, really, we just don't deem ourselves to be important. You know what I mean? We just kind of feel like that we're just kind of brushed over, you know, and that kind of stuff. And that's where the theory rots. That's very true. But yet on the next line, you know, it's like everyone thread, you know, and every thread is threaded, you know, of what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, and the choices we make, and how that thread will connect from one person to the other, you know, within their souls. So, yeah, I really, really did enjoy this. It wasn't too much. It was just right. And I think it's been a few months since I've really read anything of Titus's. But I think there was another one that I think that he wrote a few months ago to somebody that had to do with the stars again, too. I can't remember, but I could be wrong. But yes, I definitely enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the pace that he went with the words. It let you also be able to try to digest some of what he was saying, you know, from one standard to the next. So that was very enjoyable. Thank you, Titus.
Great comment. And Linda?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm mad at Titus. He took my picture. I started writing a poem to this one, and then I saw on the wall that he already had picked the picture. So, but anyway, this is like, you know, as beautiful as anything else he writes. And I kind of, you know, I have a deal with stars, and I remember the day that somebody told me that stars were just burned out light, were old lights from burned out planets, that I cried because I actually believed until I was about 15 or 16 that stars were actually pretty little, you know, sparkly realms up in the sky. And I like that he kind of gives the stars stature here. They've got a story, and in love story, I mean, how much more romantic is it sitting out under the stars with your loved one watching the sparkles of the sky? So that's what I'm picking up from here, that you know, it's just they're beautiful to watch. And they fill our hearts so full of love, and I'm losing my thought. But anyway, Titus' stuff is always so lovely, and I thank him for giving creation to the stars, and the love that they shoot out. So thank you, Titus, for sharing.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I'm glad he put down at the bottom below the poem the meaning of what he was, of each word predicate. Durst, Sistole. Then I reread it, and I got a little more of it. Yeah, he definitely classes up the place. I mean, my Lord, I want to write like him someday. It's very good, Titus. I'm lost for words. Just going on a list.
Thank you, Hatter. And okay, we have three left. We have a recording by Phil, and then we have a poem by Crystal and by a Grassman. So let me, I moved Phil's down, so if you want to go ahead and click on that link, I'll push play.
Hey Deb.
Yeah.
I got to run. I'm sorry I can't hang out. Hal, thank you. Your quotes were beautiful. I'm glad I was a part of your show, and you guys have a good night.
Thank you, Linda.
Take care.
Good night.
Okay, let's listen to Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Cat and the Deer. Once upon a time in the depths of the forest, when fairy tales were only in the memory of a storyteller, lived a cat with emerald eyes and a jar of mosquitoes that chattered nonsense about a golden cockerel. On his trek through the snow-covered forest, he spied a slender deer with antlers that glowed. With each sigh, the frightened creature did exhale. The cat stared into the eyes of this melancholic creature. Then he heard mosquitoes lamenting about a beautiful princess who was turned into a deer filled with guilty passion for the hunt. In human form, she would pursue the goldenrod deer, loving the thrill of the chase upon her favorite steed. Taking up his accordion, the cat begins to play a solemn tune, walking on his hind legs into the heart of a kaleidoscope, holding a mesmerized doe in the headlights of a nightmare, awakened by the rhythmic purring of a soothing moon. The cat sits with a Cheshire smile while the deer opens up her soul, purring contentedly. No one notices the rain begin to fall. A child's breath melts the frozen crystals on the pane, vanquishing the innocent imagination into the realms of restful sleep. End poem.
Whoa. I should have pushed send before, but while I comment, if you peek at the chat wall, you'll see the art that Phil wrote to. And why he titled it The Cat and the Deer. But I like, it starts out, once upon a time in the depths of the forest when fairy tales were only in the memory of a storyteller, lived a cat with emerald eyes and a jar of mosquitoes that chattered nonsense about the golden cockerel. I think that the fairy tales that were only in the memory of the storyteller is a little bit of a sad thing until they share that story, you know what I mean? And on his trek through the snow-covered forest, he espied the slender deer with antlers that glowed. With each sigh, the frightened creature did exhale. The cat stared into the eyes of the melancholic creature. And the thought of the glowing antlers, and he, inside the story, The little enchanting pieces are adding dimension to it, and I think that he totally brought this art to life, gave it a story And it's really, really impressive. And Phil's another poet where I love the way he pronounces his wording and stuff. So it's just like a beautiful treat to hear him read. And he always impresses me with his poetic skill. Thank you so much, Phil. I really appreciate you for supporting the show all the time. And Hatter got bumped, so it's just you and I to finish out. Hal, what do you think of Phil's poem?
Okay. This is the exact reason that I was telling you that I like to do things. I will start poems that begin with through a window pane on the other side of an ivory curtain, something like that. I do a lot of poems like this. So I'm really glad that he chose this one because the quote went perfectly with the picture. I would probably say my favorite line is going to be when I see that. Probably when the cat starts playing the accordion, taking up his accordion, the cat begins to play a solemn tune. Sorry about that. Walking on his hind legs into the heart of a kaleidoscope, holding a mesmerized doe in the headlights of a nightmare. This is really great. And something that you probably don't know, I even have a quote about headlights too, believe it or not. But you've probably seen that one a lot too. So, but Phil, this was really great. You did a great job reading it. Thank you for bringing such imagery and such originality to the picture and to the poem for this show. Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And, okay, now the last two don't have recordings, so I will read them to you and we will comment on those and wrap up the show. But, man, your poetry has inspired some incredible poems tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah,
all right,
that's urgent. Idea. Yeah, fantastic. Thanks.
And okay, click on Crystals and I'll read that one. And she wrote to breath melt the frozen crystals on the pane. Okay, this is yesterday's breath of peach breadcrumb petals by Crystal Hope. And here we go. Pumpkin locks curl around the branches of thyme, blooming with pink petals and leaves of lime. Peach sunlight beckons on rainy window panes, dripping with crimson blood of yesterday's veins. Butterflies breathe through the mask of pollution, cradling the teardrops of poisoned solutions. Aqua eyes bury the metals of blue ice crystals sharpened with thick thorns of rose petals. Champagne skies dust the fibers of ivory clouds, shouting with black shadows of echoing crowds. She whispers to lavender lilies grazing below. The fields of watercolor paint the sunflower glow. Crawling through tunnels of autumn leaves, tumbling for a sapphire flower, she grieves. Yellow pollen scatters like ebony breadcrumbs, inhaling the melting misery into her lungs. End poem. Wow, talk about gorgeous images throughout every single couplet. And I like that each couplet is its own rhyme. Of course, butterflies breathe through the mask of pollution, cradling the teardrops of poisoned solutions. There's so much sadness there, thinking of the poisons and of course, speaking to the state of the earth right now, and it makes me think of the fact that they added the monarch butterflies to the endangered species list, and I couldn't imagine never seeing a monarch butterfly fly around again, and her couplet made me remind everyone that, you know, for the cost of a few seeds, you can plant milkweed or a butterfly bush and maybe help save them, because the problem is the food's running out in their normal migration patterns, and the weather changes. It gets cold in some of the areas before they get to them. So the more we can do to help them with food, the longer they'll live. So let's save the butterflies. But, Crystal, this is an absolutely gorgeous poem, and it was my honor to be your reader. What do you think, Hal?
I actually like this a lot. I really, really like, once again, starting with the window pane. So it automatically, with that quote, you're actually already sort of like looking into something. So you can picture that into your mind before you even read the poem. It kind of sets your mind into that, into that real time there. I know there was stuff in there that I liked a lot. Let's see. Go back through these. So she used the window pane, I think, maybe once or twice. Anyway, so she said in rainy window panes. So rainy, once again, that's actually going with the whole along the same line as, you know, the poisoning of what's going on around the air with us, you know, the mask of pollution. Metals of blue ice crystals. That could be anything. That could be anything from acid rain to anything else like that. There's just a lot of good things in here. There was a favorite line I liked, but I have to find it. I'm just going to go ahead and read to you what I had already commented on this before the show. I put, Crystal, thanks for using the above quote. I definitely appreciated the entwining of colors with such a beautiful mixture of concrete and abstract elements. And she blended those really, really well together. And like I said, and like you said, Deborah, that the couplets are really, really nicely done. They're just right in the sequence with each other. I hadn't read any of her poetry for a while, so this is, you know, I consider it a pleasure that she definitely wrote for the show tonight. So another gorgeous pick.
Fabulous comment. And the last one is by a Grossman. If you click on that one, I'll read that one to you.
Thank you. Okay, I've got it all ready.
Okay, and the quote he chose was, "Everything in reach moves further back." And this is Out of Reach, Grossman. And here we go. Tried reaching the galaxy, but it slips into a backdrop of bygone pain. Tree branches wave in unison, collecting the freckled starlight from 1,000 years ago. I'm the black tapestry, woven between blinks of frazzled other suns, struggling to see colors unfolding beneath the sixth moon, which is the nightlight hope. I'll vanish with the coming daylight into the horizon of shattered dreams. Shadows are the only reminder of the ebony calmness of space that separates the light and dark, her warmth ignited truth. Light protects and gives prism colors. I'm floating and enveloping all in my path of self-destruction. Without her, I become a singularity. And Pope. Wow. The sadness was, I was trying to fight it so that I could read it without messing it up, but
right.
It's oozing. Shadows are the only reminder of an ebony calmness in space that separates the light and dark. Back further at the beginning there, tree branches wave in unison, collecting the freckled starlight from 1,000 years ago. Dawn, I'll vanish with the coming daylight into the horizon of shattered dreams. The horizon of shattered dreams. How gut-wrenching is the thought of those shattered dreams. Really, really powerful, Gress. and like I could feel that sadness, and I hate that you're feeling that sadness, and I think that you did an incredible job with the poem, and hey, it was my honor to read for you. Although we miss you, it would be great to hear your voice, but I know you're busy, but still, it would be great to hear your voice. How, what did you think?
You know, I'm going to actually agree with you that that stanza is probably my favorite one, that third stanza, where all vanish with the coming daylight and the horizon of shattered dreams. So basically the pain is there enough to where he's actually thinking about it before it even happens, the coming daylight. So you're basically, you know, at what point does light and dark separate? You know what I mean? At what point does that actually separate? And, you know, and is there a calmness in space? You know, shadows are the only reminder of that. How are the shadows going to fall? Are they going to fall one way or the other? So there's really a lot of gray area elements, if you really think about in between this passage, if you understand where I'm trying to come from. You know what I mean? How the shadows fall, how space is going to separate the light from the dark. Is it going to be more of one, less of the other? So I think the third stanza is by far my favorite stanza, as far as even just thinking about the depth of the abstract and the concrete. So I really did enjoy this one too. I am going to say this. I did enjoy his, oh my goodness. I thought he used the word prism in here. He did. Okay. Yeah. I am actually going to come back and read this one because I actually just did a contest, entered a contest about prisms from a famous poet's thing about prisms. So I'm going to really read this again and actually see if there's any kind of similarities as to what he sees in the light and the dark in the prisms with what I did. So I'm definitely going to come back and look for this again, Mr. Gressman. Thank you.
Awesome.
And that's all I got to say.
Well, that was a great comment. And again, I say how your pieces of your poems have inspired such an incredible mix of poetry. And it's a lot of times we get silly or we go dark, but for some reason your words seem to send us all inside ourselves and yank emotions from us. And we had powerful messages. We had sorrow. We had love. We had romance. I think that I am very, very impressed, and I hope you are too. The words that you wrote were incredible too. So what a great night of poetry inspired by your words. And I appreciate
really
letting us use them.
Thank you.
And before I do the wrap-up, was there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, I mean, I just really want to say thank you, you know, to everybody who showed up tonight and really, you know, put forth, you know, the effort to respond to, you know, to just some little, you know, micro-stitches and things like that from my poems. You know, I appreciate that. It, you know, it really means a lot to me. Thanks.
Awesome. And again, great inspiration. And I'm putting a link on the board right now so that everyone can go ahead and take a peek and grab your art. Next week, we feature words by Sweet Pea. And I had grabbed a bunch of art from a site that I go to. It's my go-to art site called Fine Art America. And then mixed through there are a few shots that Sweet Pea took with her camera and a couple of pieces of art that she had sent that she wanted included in. So if you haven't already chose your art, go ahead and click on that link and you can see what's up for next week. And right now, again, I want to say thank you to Hal. And I want to say thank you to my amazing board members from A Team of Voices, AP and Hatter and Sweet Pea. I appreciate you all very much. And a special thanks to the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation for being our sponsor. And I want to thank Raconteur and Wayne and Linda and Sky and Kay and Stephen and Angel and Jenny and Pee Wee and Crystal and Phil and Tony and JCA and Gress. Amazing poems, everyone. You guys make these shows really, really special. And I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And be sure to tune in if you're around tomorrow at 11 p.m. It's Raconteur's once a month show. And his topic is called Souvenirs from My Guilt Trip. Guilt trips. We've all taken them, and some of us didn't need a travel agent. Whatever rabbit hole it leads you down, write about it. So we've all had those guilt trips, whether it's somebody else putting them on us or us more commonly putting a guilt trip on ourselves. So that ought to be a great show again tomorrow at 11. And I appreciate you all very, very much. Hal, I hope you feel better. And love and respect, everyone. That's
okay,
a wrap.
Okay, take care. Thanks. Bye.
Good night.